Everyone stand with me. Turn over to page number 120 if you need it, and let's sing Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. On the last, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. If you would remain standing, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Seelon, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Sing this with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, God's praise, than when we first begun. Amen. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. That's E flat right there, right? Okay, I think I can go. All
I'll go with it from here. All right. Please remember that just down the hall here, we have our post office set up. So go ahead and start bringing your Christmas cards. We received some this morning. You'll want to go ahead and get what's on the table for you tonight. That's a nice calendar, and it's always nice, and we always appreciate that. And so please remember that. Also remember that COU is next Sunday, ladies. Please be here for that, December the 7th in the Fellowship Hall, right after the morning worship service next Sunday morning. If you have any questions, please see Amanda or Miss Lee Ellen, and they'll let you know what's going on there. But again, I believe that is next Sunday, right after the morning service. So please remember that. Also, please pray for Brother Larry. He'll be having his surgery on Wednesday, December the 3rd. So please remember him in prayer. I know he'd appreciate that. I know we have many, many other prayer requests. We just need to lift each one of those up in a very special way tonight. Please pray for CJ. He'll be bringing our message here in a few moments. And I'm going to try my best to share a couple of songs with you tonight. Just a couple of a cappella songs. I hope they'll be a blessing to you. And the words of the songs have been a tremendous blessing to me down through the years. And I don't know about you, but it's always wonderful to see the Lord's hand working in a situation. Sometimes the hand is unseen. We don't always see it. But we look back over times like that and we realize that He was working, because you see His fingerprints everywhere that He's been working in your life. Terry and I were the other day standing in the kitchen, and there's been a lot of changes in our life over the past few weeks. Most of you know that I stepped out into the world of retirement. Now, some folks would, I've heard people say this, I'm making more money now than I was when I was working. It don't always work that way for everyone. And I have found it not to be true on my behalf. But I do believe it was the Lord's will, and we've stepped out. I say we've stepped out by faith. It's more like a leap of faith, I think. But the Lord has, He's been good to us, and He'll take care of us, and we know that. Not only that, we also placed a big old sign in our yard that says, for sale. And so we're making some moves, or we're looking to make some moves. And so the Lord is working, and I know that He has a plan for us, a plan of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And I know that He'll do that in His time. So that's taken us to a different level of prayer, and we're asking the Lord to move on some situations, and we know that He's going to do that. We were standing in the kitchen, though, the other day, Terry and I, we were standing there at the island, and the Lord had been, we'd been praying about some things, especially, specifically, and I promise you that it doesn't always work this way, and I'm not worthy of it at all, but I promise you that we asked the Lord about something, CJ, and it wasn't 5 minutes till the answer come through. Terry looked at me with big old tears streaming down her face, and she said, He's showing out. He's just showing out. And He does that a lot of times, doesn't He? But sometimes, there's an unseen hand that will lead us, and I'm so thankful for that tonight. You pray as I try and sing the unseen hand. There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see, while struggling through this world of woe. This hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by The unseen hand. Listen to this verse. This hand has led through shadows drear, and while it leads, I'll have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin nor sorrow cannot come. I long to see my Savior's face and to sing that story, saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'm gonna praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'm gonna reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life, I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Alan, get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be all my troubles and trials behind, for I'll be safe with Jesus. Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Just sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is with great honor tonight, I don't mean this jokingly, that I am able to present to you our speaker for this evening. He's my brother in Christ, he's my friend, and he's my son-in-law. Please make welcome tonight, C.J. Martin.
Interpretive dance has always been my passion. Good to know that two of you are awake. For the rest of you, I said interpretive dance has always been my passion. And if I could have thought of a way to represent the unseen hand, I would have. It was on, brother. But God protected us all tonight because I had no idea how to represent an unseen hand in interpretive dance. So anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight. If you've got your Bible, join me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a rare treat for you. My wife's not here. To be clear, I told her to go home. We had an absurd week this week, and our kids are out of control. And I said, I just don't think that another late night and the early morning tomorrow is going to be a great way for them to start school. So anyway, so they're at the house. Uncle B is not here. And my father-in-law only loves me sometimes. So I've got no reason to behave tonight, right? So you're getting unhinged CJ. CJ 2.0, if you will. No, that's not true. But anyway, if you've got your Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, recompense not man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are the verses I read to my grandmother Friday night because we were playing a card game. It's called Phase 10. I don't know if it has made its way to your world. If it has, you're welcome. If it hasn't, you're welcome. You need to go get that game. It is absolutely life-changing fun. It's good times. But there's a card in that game that is skip. And what you do is if someone's ahead and you want a chance to catch up with them, you get to skip them, right? It's not uncommon. Uno, several other games have the same thing. But that skip is a powerful card. I mean, you can wreck somebody's world because there's nothing worse than being one card away from winning in that game. And someone says, we're just going to skip you. And my sweet, kind, beloved grandmother, who was sitting right beside me, she said, now, baby, I hope you understand. This is just strategy. This is nothing personal. This is just strategy. You're a little ahead right now. So I'm just going to have to strategically give this to you. I said, Grandma, you wouldn't do that to me, little old CJ. Well, Grandma, I'm an orphan. How can you possibly do that to me? It made no difference. So I started quoting scripture to her. It also made no difference. That skip was mine. I was the recipient of that skip. And I couldn't, that's Grandma. That's Gigi, right? What are you going to do? You just go, all right, thank you, Gigi. I will wait my turn. And sure enough, everyone else did their thing except for little old CJ. And little old CJ ended up losing the game. But that's my Gigi, right? And you can't get mad at Gigi. But what you can do is get mad at your Bronco who's sitting beside Gigi. And the very next round goes, hey, CJ, nothing personal, but you're a little ahead. I'm just going to lay the, what? No, you're not. Listen, nothing, it's just strategy. No, strategy is me throwing a knife at you across this kitchen. is what strategy is. We ain't doing this. You're my bronco. You can't do this to me. Well, guess what? He did. And he didn't say, I'm sorry. He didn't even say, I love you. Matter of fact, he was a little coarse about it. But the little turd beside him, you can't say turd when you're preaching. The little peasant beside him, he saw me getting excited. And what y'all don't understand is I had two wild cards. With two wild cards, you can do anything. I mean, you can make anything happen with two wild cards. But this little turd nugget, I'm sorry, what do we call him? Peasant. He saw me getting riled up. Because with grandma, you can't do nothing. Right? It's just, okay, Gigi, do what you need to do. I'm cheering for you. I hope you win, Gigi. Your bronco, though, come on, man. You just saw me take a skip, and you're going to give me another one? Well, the peasant beside him, he's, I'm just going to skip you too. And I'm sitting there, two wilds, and I've missed three turns now. And it gets back around to him again. Guess what that little peasant did? He somehow, I don't know if he was sitting on him, I haven't him tucking a sock, I don't know where they came from. He pulled another skip out. He goes, I'm going to skip you one more time because you look like you're frustrated. I said, I'm not frustrated. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm thinking about setting Gigi's house on fire at this point because I have two wilds. I've just taken four skips for no reason. I love all of y'all. I brought phase 10 to this house. And now I'm not angry. I'm hostile. I'm quoting scripture at everybody. I'm telling everybody, you know what? And the Bible says just be kind. And I wasn't kind. I was angry, brother. But anyway, things sometimes get very upset. I actually jokingly said to them, I think my cardiologist is going to call in a minute because if I had a pacemaker, that thing would be buzzing right now just off the side of the table. And Amanda goes, well, I think maybe we should call your anger management counselor instead. Yeah, that helped. That helped a whole heap. But anyway, this was way funnier. Y'all aren't laughing, so I thought it was absolutely hilarious. But truly, sometimes in life, we need a reminder that we don't repay evil for evil because there ain't enough skips in that deck for me to do to them what they did to me, right? Especially the peasant on the end. Gigi, she can do no. If she'd given me the fourth skip, I would have thanked her for it. I love my bronco too, but boy, two from somebody else, that just lit me up. But sometimes in life, we need a reminder that we don't repay evil for evil and that in life, sometimes things are just games, right? Sometimes in life, things are just games and there's, you know, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Christian Busby and I have a fun thing going back and forth. Well, it's really one-sided. He's just mean to me for no reason. And I try to love on him, and I've done nothing to him, and he's just mean. That's my lie, and I'm sticking to it. But anyway, sometimes in life things happen, and there's no getting even, right? There's especially not getting ahead, but you can't even feel like sometimes you can get even. And the Bible teaches us that it's wise to quit keeping score, right? Sometimes in life, we just have to quit keeping score, and we have to remember this is just a game, right? I was playing that, and I was a game. And in life, we have to remember sometimes this is just business. Nobody's buying my house. Well, give it time. You know, I've done everything right, and I still got passed over for this promotion at work. Give it time. It's going to work out. It's supposed to. But we want to keep score, right? Especially in marriages. I don't know how many of you are married, but it's real easy in marriage to keep score and go, I've gotten these kids up every day this week. I ask you for one little thing, and that's too much to pull off. Dangerous grounds, right? Really dangerous grounds. It's dangerous grounds to, even with your siblings to start keeping up. Not that we're not aware, but to try to keep score, that's dangerous, dangerous territory. Bad things happen when we start keeping score. So we're going to look at the beginning of Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me that to every man that is among you to not think himself more highly that he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. And and everyone members of one another. So what we're discovering is that this is, again, the beginning of the same chapter we're talking about, where he's saying, hey, don't keep score. It's easy for us to apply that in the workplace. It's easy for us to apply that in marriage. It's easy for us to apply that in everywhere, right? Especially in games with Gigi, right? It's real easy to apply that. But what you discover is he's talking to the church. And if you ever find yourself coming to church and going, well, it's Sunday night and I'm the only one here, that's dangerous, right? That's going to be really problematic. If you come to church, you think, well, I'm the only one tithing. Guess what? That's dangerous, because he's telling us that here in the church, and I didn't get to listen to Brother Snyder because I was in the basement's probably the wrong word. That sounds really bad. I was teaching children's church. That sounds much better. And I was this morning. So anyway, I had all of your lovely darlings in children's church, and they were actually really mostly good this morning. I fed them candy and sent them home. That's my favorite thing to do, because it's like throwing a grenade out there. You just know it's going to explode just outside of your grasp, you know, so it's good times. It's like my own little reward for getting through teaching children's church is to send them home sugared up. But anyway, we discover he is teaching the church. He's talking to the body of Christ. He's saying, hey, quit keeping score at church. Quit keeping score at church. You know why? It's really easy to show up on a Sunday night and go, look, there's just not as many people here as should be. You know what we shouldn't do? We shouldn't short the people who did show up. We shouldn't be frustrated by the ones who are not here to the point that the ones who are get lesser version of you, right? I don't care if we're doing music. I don't care if we're greeting. I don't care if we're preaching. I don't care. Whatever we're doing, if we give less than our full selves to any service, then we're letting God down, right? Then we're failing God. We're failing our church. We're failing ourselves, because the truth is we all lose. I worked in sales for a long time. You know what I discovered? You have to show up every single day, not just physically, but you have to be there mentally for that job. And if you're not, you know who loses? You do, because you're the one who doesn't get the sale, right? And so same thing with our church here. When we show up discouraged, when we show up disappointed, when we show up at whatever it might be, we're the ones who lose, right? And of course, the church as a whole does, but we're shorting ourselves. When you show up and you cross your arms and you sit on the front row and go, okay, I'm here, now bless me if you can. Yeah, good luck with that, right? That's not going to go well. And so we short ourselves when we show up discouraged. And so I would encourage you to, on your way to church, turn off that honky-tonk badonkadonk you listen to on Kix 101.5. And I probably shouldn't say actual names before I get sued. But anyway, whoever that song might be by, we don't know. But maybe we turn to Christian music and say, God, I'm just going to, before I get to the service, I'm going to go ahead and start pointing my heart towards you. And last Sunday night, Uncle Brian talked to us about forgiveness, right? Some of you may not have even remembered that. It was great, probably. I listened to a lot of it, but it's ADD. You get what you get, right? So anyway, he talked about forgiveness. And all week this week, that just kind of chewed on me a little bit, because I thought, oh, man, you know, maybe forgiveness would be, or Thanksgiving rather, not forgiveness, but maybe being thankful for something would be a good idea. Instead of, you know, we all lost our Uncle Dion. I hate that, man. I hate that we lost him, because it just didn't seem right. 25 days from walking into a doctor's office to literally being in heaven. 25 days for a mountain of a man. And you know what I found myself doing? Everyone said, oh, be thankful for the years you had with him. No, bullcrap. I wanted more. You know what I mean? I should not say, I'm going to be in trouble for that one. I'm sorry. Bull trash. You know, I wanted more. I expected another 20 years with him. I fully expected a long time with him. And we lost him in a period of 25 days. And I'm thankful that Uncle Brian's words did resonate with me. And I did find a place to say, God, I am thankful for the years. I'm thankful for the lessons. I'm thankful for the memories. I'm so thankful for that man. And truly, I hope tonight you'll find another principle that says, you know, we're going to be thankful. We're also going to take our jerseys off. And this week, I'm not keeping score. This week, I'm not going to worry about what someone else did, because we are all uniquely gifted to serve our church, to serve our families, right? To serve whatever place we find ourselves in. We're all uniquely designed to serve in that thing. I saw something today that said, you know, my husband doesn't know what date our kids' birthdays are. He doesn't know how if they need tennis shoes for school. He doesn't even know when their practices are. But I tell you what, my card never declines. And so we have the same goal. We just have different roles. right? We have the same goals. We want healthy kids. We want good things to happen for our kids, but we have different roles in it. Because you know what I can't do? I can't provide for my kids a full life and be at every practice. It's physically impossible. There's no way. So God gave me a smoking hot counterpart to step in and be at all those things and to do those things and to constantly remind me that I need to do more, right? And to push me to be more successful and to do greater things. And we have the same thing, the same goal, but we have radically different roles. I have literally shown up at the wrong school to pick up a child before. I showed up at Allatoona Elementary School and rang the bell and I went in. I was like, hey, I need Jackson Martin for dismissal. And they were like, you mean Carter? No, I mean Jackson. I'm like, you need to go to the middle school where he now attends if you're going to, and I was like, oh, that's going to be a problem. So anyway, that was a fun call to Amanda. She was less understanding than you might anticipate. But again, same goal, radically different roles. Same thing in our church. We all have radically different roles. There are people who are blessed who can give financially. There are people who have time who can come and do things. When I got out, just before we came in here, there were two men out on the front porch trying to change a light bulb. And they said, I don't know how this thing comes apart. And God blessed me with, well, terrible eyes, but great contacts. And so I was able to say, there's a screw hole right there. I bet that's probably, you know, anyway, so by our powers combined, we were able to find that thing. We didn't change it yet, but at least now we know how. But God's given us all different roles within the same church. And again, when we show up discouraged, when we show up disgruntled, whether it's this church or any other church or whatever the relationship is, when we show up less than our best, we're cheating everybody. We're cheating everybody. And when you keep score, that's a guaranteed way to lead to being disgruntled. When you show up here and you're more frustrated by who's not here than you are encouraged by who is, that's a guaranteed way to get discouraged. When you show up on Sunday morning, you're going, oh, she's singing again? You know, when you show up, if any of those things are going, you're shorting yourself and you're going to end up in a very, very discouraged and painful place. So anyway, I encourage you to look at that. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Isn't it wild that he's having to remind the church of that? Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Isn't that a lost art today? The idea of saying, I want you to win so much that I'm willing to take a back seat to that. You know, I text my brother when we were playing cards the other night. He said, hey, I'm at Grandma's right around the corner from your house. You need to come. He sent me a picture of himself at the UGA and Georgia Tech game. And I said, I'm willing to take a back seat to that. I'm okay with that. But to put others first, verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Keep in mind, we're talking to the church. Who in the world would persecute the church? Well, it's happening more than we probably want to know about. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in sight of all men, if it possible. And I don't know, I missed the verse I was looking for. There it is, vengeance is mine. Verse 19, vengeance is mine. And so when we take revenge on ourselves and when we say, Brother Jeff did me wrong and I'm going to see to it that he doesn't get to do that again, you know what we're really saying? God, I don't trust you to hold him accountable, so I'm going to have to. And who do you think loses when we do that? We do, right? When we start keeping score, not only are we saying, I want us to both lose because that's what's going to happen, right? Especially me. I'm going to be the one who loses. But we're also saying, God, I don't trust you. I know you said that you would look out for me. I know you said that you would hold Jeff accountable. I know you said you would do, by the way, Jeff's done me no wrong other than having the poor decision making to show up tonight. We're saying to God, I don't trust you to hold him accountable. So I'm going to see to it that I do. And do you think that's going to give God warm and fuzzies towards us? No, I don't think so. I would say not. I would say that's not going to give God warm and fuzzy feelings towards us. And I don't know about you, but I need God in my life, right? I need God in a bad way. I need God in my life. And so I think that us saying to God, I don't trust you, and I'm going to take care of this myself, is probably a really, really bad move for us. So I know you were really hoping that I would preach a good 45 minutes to 2 hours tonight. But I'm going to be honest, I feel like the lesson today is simple. Can we trust God to keep score? Because you know what the reality is? We're holding him accountable. We're keeping score. But if we were to take our jersey off, we would discover that we're on the same team. We're on the same team. We're trying to get the same thing done. Right? My friend Rand Ely gave me some marriage advice one time. He said, you have to sometimes pause. He said, I'll actually pause in our marriage and say, hey, hold on. We're on the same team. We're fighting against each other, but we're on the same team. You think that Auburn has a chance of beating Alabama if they're fighting against each other? I know, sore subject, my bad. You think Georgia can beat Georgia Tech if they're fighting, on our own sidelines? Not a chance, right? There's not a chance. If we're too busy yelling at each other for what we've done, then guess what the other team is doing? They're going to use that to their advantage, right? They're going to see that as a weakness, and they're going to absolutely take an advantage, take an opportunity to take us out with that. They're going to use that weakness against us, and that's not a winning strategy, right? Terrible things happen. So my request to you, again, last Sunday we said, let's have a week of Thanksgiving. Let's have a week of saying, God, I'm so thankful for this. My question to you this week, can we have a week of taking our jerseys off? Can we say, God, would you show me where it is that I'm keeping, trying to hold other people accountable? And again, accountability is not a bad thing, right? Judging by the fact, there's something wrong with this coat. My boys started wearing it. It used to button, right? And I could probably get it buttoned, but you would all need safety glasses because somebody would lose an eye when that thing took off across the room. But my boys have started wearing it. And somehow or another, they've shrunk it by wearing it. I don't know. Unimaginable. It hasn't been dried, so we can't blame the dryer. There's another appliance in the house. The refrigerator may have something to do with it, but I prefer to blame my children because that's always worked well for me. But again, when we start blaming each other and we're more focused on what someone else has or has not done, that's just going to be a bad strategy. So my prayer is that we would say two things this week. God, would you blind me to what other people are or are not doing? If it's not my responsibility, would you blind me to who's not here or to who is here? And second of all, God, would you give me a goal for you? Lord, would you give me a mission for you? Would you give me something to accomplish for you that I can be so busy chasing after whatever that is, right, that I don't have time to worry about what Brother Dwayne is doing, what Brother someone else is doing, what Sister so-and-so is doing? God, would you help me to be so busy serving you in this capacity or in this job that I don't have time to worry about anybody else? Because I can tell you that when I was in sales, when I had the most success was when I was dialed in. I didn't worry about what anybody else's numbers were. I didn't worry about what someone else had did or what time someone else came into the office. It was the times when I was just buckled in. And I can tell you, God's not kind to me sometimes. Well, he's exceedingly kind to me in the fact that I'm still alive. But I was pulling into work one morning, and it was about 9:15. We were supposed to be at work by 9. And I said, God, I really need these sales to come through. Would you help me today to have a great, successful day? And what he said, it wasn't warm and fuzzy. He said, it'd have been a lot easier if you were on time. I was like, I think you have the wrong number. You're looking for Christian Busby. I'll be able to send you that number. But I'm telling you, God's not kind to me when he speaks to me. It's not usually, coddling. It's normally corrective in nature. But that's the same thing. God, would you help me to be so focused on being on time and being present and worrying about what my family needs and what the people in my area need? I don't have time to worry about the neighbor's yard, right? I can't worry about what their yards look like because I'm so focused taking care of my house and my family that and staying right with you. That's a full-time job for me, right? Just staying right with the Lord. That is a absolute full-time job for me. And the first amen I've gotten all night. But truly, I want to be so busy chasing God that I don't have time to worry about other people. I don't have time to worry about that. And I think that that's the secret, whether it be for our church or whether it be for your family, but for sure for me personally. So So anyway, I don't know that we need a thing. I would just encourage you to say, God, I'm just going to do it. We don't need 13 verses for you to come down here and promise God things we're not going to do anyway. I would just ask you, as we leave tonight, would you make a commitment that says, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to try to, if you will give me an assignment, I'll try to give it everything I have. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for our church. We thank you that you are indeed so kind to us. Lord, we ask you to be with us and help us have a great week, and we will meet with you here next week. In your name I pray. Amen.